You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you here today. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We're tuning in to God's frequency. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. You just got to go to where he speaks. The word today is going to come out of the book of Acts, chapter 1. I've entitled this sermon, The Demise of Judas Iscariot. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1, Matthew 26 and 27. We're going to see Judas's response at what happened to the Lord. We'll be in John chapter 13, around verse 17 and 18. Luke 22, as we see Satan enter into Judas. We're going to look at what happened to this guy. You know, I really feel bad for Judas, because he even asked the question. When the Lord Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, he asked the question. He said, is it I? Am I going to do this? That's where we're at here today and tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. I'm going to let this opening play for both days. So depending on what day of the week it is, Thursday or Friday, Thursday you're going to hear part one of this sermon. Friday, you'll hear part two. This Sunday, I invite you guys to Island Community Church. My sermon this week is the day of Pentecost. We're going to look at how the apostles chose a replacement for Judas after he hung himself, and we're going to look at the day of Pentecost. So we would love to see you. If you're new to the area or looking for a church home, I invite you guys to attend Island Community Church. Hey, hopefully we'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, the day of Pentecost this week. Here today, Thursday and Friday, the demise of Judas. We're looking today at the demise of Judas Iscariot. That's the name of my sermon here today. We're in the book of Acts. Let's pray again before we get started. Lord God Almighty, thank you for revealing to us what happened to Judas and how he fell. Help us to respond like Judas and the other 10 did, and ask the question, is it I? Not like Peter, who said this could never happen to him. Lead us and guide us. We pray not only that you'd convict us of our shortcomings, but that the power to change would be present here today. Help us to get this victory. We praise you now. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Off to an excellent start, aren't we, in the book of Acts? We looked at last week at the infallible proofs, if you guys remember, as to the person of Jesus Christ. That's where we left off. But something occurred to me on Monday morning as I was working on this sermon, that one of the infallible proofs that we looked at was the Lord Jesus raising up his friend Lazarus from the dead. So let me start from there this morning. If you guys would turn with me, we're going to start there. John chapter 11, starting in verse 40. John chapter 11, verse 40. John chapter 11, verse 40. Okay, here we go. Infallible proofs we were talking about. Now, the Lord Jesus, speaking to Martha, he said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you.
I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people that are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, regarding infallible proofs, it's not all that easy, otherwise everyone would believe, right? I mean, everyone would believe the infallible proofs that I shared with you because, well, they're infallible, right? The Holy Spirit has said these proofs are infallible, meaning there's no error in them. They're infallible. Jesus just spoke a dead man back to life. Infallible. He's raising the dead. It's infallible. It's not even up for discussion. But look at the response that was made then to this. Verse 45. It says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did, they believed in him. Now, look at the next two words. It says, but. There's always a trouble when you run into but. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Imagine that. Now, they didn't go there to proclaim praises, but imagine that, witnessing this with your very own eyes. The very Son of God raising up a man who had been dead. And you yourself go into the local branch of the ACLU to rat him out and complain. You're miffed that the Son of God just raised up someone from the dead at this infallible proof. It's infallible. And all this in front of your very own eyes you just witnessed. And this proves, you see, what the Apostle Paul wrote and what the Bible says. It says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the dunamis, the dynamite of God, the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18. And this, 2 Corinthians 4:3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Isn't that funny? There's the same present active participle, the word with ing on the end of it, in both of those texts. That is, they're perishing left and right, every which way that you turn. Even if our gospel it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So my point is that though they are infallible proofs, some people still won't believe the evidence or believe the proof, even though they're infallible. Why? Because your faith is a gift from God and not everyone has it. Faith is a gift. To sit around here and partake of the Lord's Supper and say, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, some of these little tykes, they might not get and understand that, but they're certainly laying a foundation now. They will understand more later. Not everyone has that gift. The Apostle Paul said, pray for us that God may deliver us from evil men, for not everyone has faith. How else can you explain seeing the Son of God raise someone dead and you go to the authorities to rat him out? Now, we left off last Sunday with Jesus returning to heaven from whence he came. And I mentioned last week, the whole world was on high alert. Let's go back now to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up here in verse 9. For those that have a paper Bible, some have it online, there's a couple places we can mark where we're going to be. John 13 and Matthew 27 and 26, Those are some of the places we're going to go here. We're looking at Judas and what happened to this guy. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, the two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as ye saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. I think that's about a mile and a half. So this is how he left this world. And this is how he's coming back. He's not coming back on the 310 from Yuma. He's coming back in the clouds. And every eye will see him. Jesus himself warned, if anyone ever says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible. Right, even the elect, even you, if it was possible. Then he says, see, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, there's Jesus, he's in the desert. Do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms. That is, he's inside that house down there on Main Street. He says, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:23. Therefore, you good people here will never be deceived, right? We know the truth. We've looked at it, and we will continue to look at it. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go. Take it to the bank. He's coming back the same way as he left. I guarantee it. He's coming back. That's Revelation 1:7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced them. Even so, that is, it is what it is. All the earth's going to wail when he comes back. Then he says, even so, meaning it is what it is. It's too late to change by that point. That's why you've got to change today, while it's still today. Even so, amen. He's coming with the clouds and everyone's going to wail. Even so, amen. No change in that. There's no stopping this freight train by this point. Okay, Jesus is gone. Back to where he came from. His disciples have gone back to Jerusalem. If you recall in the last chapter of Luke, the Lord Jesus said to them, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So wait in Jerusalem until you receive power. A Greek word again, dunamis, where our word dynamite comes from. The awesome Holy Spirit of the living God is the dynamite of your salvation. That's why the Old Testament prophets wrote. They didn't even know what they were writing. But they said to us, they said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They were just being obedient. They have no idea some of these things that they were writing. The awesome Holy Spirit of God is the dynamite. That's why David writes, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because God is for me. That's the dynamite of God. According to the power, he said, that dwells in you. So, go and wait in Jerusalem. Wait for the dynamite. Wait for the dynamite that's coming. Now, verse 12 of chapter 1. So then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas, that's the other Judas. There was That was a popular name back then. Just like in 1930, Adolf was a popular name up until 1939. Then it wasn't so popular anymore. No one named her kid Adolf anymore then, did they? Judas likewise was a popular name. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, this is the fourth and last time the names of the apostles are given. Except this time, there's one notable name that's missing on the list. That would be that man right there, Judas Iscariot. His name is not given here. We'll see what happens to him in a few minutes. So now we have 120 people in the upper room, including Mary, Jesus' mother, and other women as well. Now, verse 15. Now, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which," now look what he says, "the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." All right, so where in the Old Testament can I read about Judas? Here's two references that I can find that address this. They're on your handout as well. Psalm 41:9 and Psalm 109, verse 8. Psalm 41:9 reads this. It says, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." But David wrote that? King David wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus. And Psalm 109, verse 8, "Let his days be few, and let another take his office, the bishop, the bishopric." That's incredible if you ask me. You know, we go about our day reading the daily Psalms all the time, right? Everyone, we read Psalms. I started the service with a Psalm. They do so many books and devotionals on Psalms, right? Psalms bless our day every day, don't they? And yet there's so much more to the Psalms than we realize. Look at what the Holy Spirit just said to you through Peter. "This scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." So, know and understand, there's more to the Psalms than meet the eye. The Psalms are direct revelation from God to you. Of course, all of the Bible is a direct revelation from God. But these Psalms are personal, and they're a direct revelation from God to you. Now, David himself wrote in 2 Samuel 23, he says, "These are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel." Then he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." That's 2 Samuel 23:1. Think about that. When you're reading the Psalms, you are hearing and receiving a direct revelation directly from Almighty God. Directly to you. Personally. So consider some of the things that the Holy Spirit wrote through David in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord," that is, your Bible. In his Bible, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, unlike the leaves on all of our trees throughout all Florida. Have you noticed? There's not a living sea grape in the state of Florida left. Not those that make this book their life. This is as much of a direct revelation from God as anything else. Blessed are those that meditate on the Word of God. Blessed are those that don't take counsel from ungodly people. That's God's direct revelation to you today. Whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Boy, talk about the Midas touch. How does that sound to you guys today? Who wants the Midas touch today? Where everything that you do prospers, even though you might not see it and recognize it at the time. Jacob said, everything is against me. And he was wrong. Everything was for him. He just couldn't see it or recognize it at the time. Look, this is a psalm directly from the Holy Spirit of God to you. Make the Word of God your life. Meditate on the pages inside this book. Meditate on the Word of God. Don't take ungodly counsel, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Now, that's not my words. That's his words. I'm just the preacher. I'm just telling you what he's saying here. Do you want the Midas touch? Then delight in the Word of God and don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Man, counsel's everywhere, isn't it? You got a pain here and a pain there, and we go and see ungodly counsel. What do they say? Take two of these and call me in the morning. And then when these two don't work, I'm going to give you two of those to counteract those two, and then two of those to counteract those two, and two of those to counteract those two, and what do you got? You can't hear from God anymore because your mind's all clogged up, full of muck. Don't take the counsel of the ungodly. That's a real stickler of mine, I'm sorry. When Jesus was on the cross, he refused gall. Or this, Psalm 2, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you perish along the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those, there's a second beatitude. First was the very first, 1:1. Here, it's blessed are those who put their trust in him. Take it to the bank. Psalm 2, verse 11 and 12. Kiss, or that word means embrace. Embrace the man in the glory. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Or this, Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. He calls you a fool if you don't believe. So you're blessed if you do, and you're a fool if you don't. Here's my favorite, Psalm 22. The Holy Spirit speaking by the mouth of David. A thousand years before the birth of Jesus Christ, on display in the oldest library in the world, that would be in Alexandria, Egypt, since 300 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. This you could read in the Alexandrian Library. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. Everyone looks and stares at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Psalm 22, verses 16 and 8 through 18. What an incredible supernatural book of the Bible is this book of Psalms. All these things were written so that you would know and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that his word is true. That's the purpose. Remember, we read in, I think it's Revelation 19:20, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. All these things are written in advance so that you will believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen to that? And now here regarding Judas, the Holy Spirit's just giving you two more. Psalm 41, we just read. Psalm 109, verse 8. Remember, the Holy Spirit spoke through me. His words were on my tongue. All right, now here's some more about this Judas Iscariot. Acts 1:18. Now remember, Judas, and this is so apropos, I did not tell my wife, she makes these slides, that we were going to spend time talking about that, which is one of the verses I gave you to add to the handout, Exodus 21:32. Did you know, and I did not know, this escaped me, maybe I had forgotten it, that 30 pieces of silver was what they gave for an accidental death of a slave. It was the lowest, it was the absolute lowest value you could ever place on a human being who died was 30 pieces of silver. So that is how they regarded the Son of God. The lowest of low, as low as you can get, like a mule, or an ox, 30 pieces of silver. And today's value, $1,147 is what 30 shekels of silver is worth today. Now let's read a little more about him. Verse 18. Now this, I'm in Acts 1:18. Now this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all of his intestines gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Mind you, those things were written 1,000 years before it happened. I mean, who can remember what they had for dinner last night? Who knows what they're going to have for dinner on Wednesday night? You know, you two know what you're going to eat. Let me guess. A Ty Cobb salad and baby back ribs. Sorry, bad example. We go to Sonny's after service every Wednesday night. I walked right into that one, didn't I? Sorry, other than the Solana family, who else knows what they're going to eat for dinner on Wednesday night? 1,000 years in advance.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent. Today's question takes us to Colossians. Have you ever encountered some well-dressed folks knocking on your door wanting to argue with you that Jesus is not God? They love to quote a verse from Colossians to make their case. In chapter 1, Paul says that Jesus is, quote, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, John, why did he word his statement like that? That could sound like Jesus is a creature, not the creator.
Well, the cults love to find their isolated and misinterpreted verses, don't they? They certainly are good at finding those and confusing people who don't really know what Scripture is saying. In this case, however, if you look at the full text that you just quoted, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the direct copy. That's what that word means. He is the carbon copy, the exact reproduction, the duplicate.